back here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium, Slippery Rock University. Rock leading 31-14 here at the half. Rock putting up 324 yards of offense on 46 plays. Mercyhurst came alive late, and they put up 200 yards of total offense. In particular, a big run by Garrett Owens, who had been held to negative yardage most of the first half, powered out a 70-yard run. He's now got 71 yards on the night. So the Rock doing a nice job containing the running game, as they have done all year. They've been very, very solid against the run. That one breakaway, but that one breakaway, Glenn Thompson, really allowed some momentum to come back the way of the Lakers, and it'll be interesting to see how they harness that as they get the ball to start the second half.
How often do you hear Coach Lutz talk about it's a 60-minute game? You got to play four quarters. You got to play 60 minutes. And I just kind of feel like the Rock team maybe fell asleep a little bit there those last 5 minutes of that second quarter and allowed this Mercyhurst team to creep back into it. A couple things to point out from that first half. Combined, Bob, 14 penalties for 138 yards. That's a lot of penalties. That's a lot of yardage.
That's why we had a 90-minute first
that
half.
It's hard to wrap your head around a little bit.
Yeah. And eight penalties for Mercyhurst, who only average 5 to 6 a game.
Yep. Oh, yeah, they're already well above their average as far as total penalties and yardage. The other big takeaway for me, though, Mercyhurst 0-of-2 on fourth down conversion attempts. So nice job by the Rock defense early in this game whenever they had a chance to get off the field of getting off the field and forcing the turnover on downs. We'll see if that's going to continue here in the second half, because I can guarantee it, Bob, being down 17, you're going to see some fourth down attempts here by this Mercyhurst team as they try to climb back into this one.
And you got to give a shout-out to the Rock offensive line. That's probably the thinnest position they have here at Slippery Rock University because of injuries. The defensive line has taken some hits, but is pretty deep. Obviously, we've seen the defensive field take big-time hits, and they've recovered from that and have had replenished guys. But the offensive line has taken some hits, and Colton Robb returning back to the fold tonight. But then right away, we see guys like Ryan Podgorski go down with an injury. Chris Larson go down for an injury. Now, we did see Podgorski.
Yeah, he came back in. Yep, he finished off the half. Yep.
But you look at what the Rock has done running the ball. Six carries, 53 yards for Wes Hills, an 8.8-yard average. Braden Fuffman, a 6.2-yard average, five carries for 31 yards. Even Chakar Berry, he carried the ball only one time, but it was a 9-yard gain. So the Rock offensive line has really done a nice job with the Rock running game.
What's so impressive about it is that the offensive line is such a unit. You know, you can have secondary guys, you can have safeties and corners who make good plays. That front five, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, if they're not gelling on each play, then there's absolutely no success for the offense, because either there's nowhere to run for the running back or the quarterback is getting sacked pretty consistently. So to have these guys mesh the way they did in that first half after, let's be honest, limited experience playing together, really a positive sign to see.
We see just after half, California is up on IUP right now. I guess they had California took a lead right at the start of the second half. IUP ended up running the ball back for a touchdown, and then Cal responded and put a drive of their own together. So they got a barn burner going down in the Cole Bowl down to California, which is a very, very tough place to play.
Got some child in front of us distracting us, trying to get our attention taken away. Oh, wait, that's George.
It's Dr. George Mahalik. He's giving us funny looks in this studio here. It's great to see George here tonight back out with his wife, Laura, in the crowd. We heard the cowbell, and that triggered a Rock response. They had a touchdown right after that.
Always need more cowbell.
Well, we're getting set to go here, and let's hope that it moves a little quicker, because it was a 90-minute first half. So we'll monitor it. We're starting out here at 8 o'clock to start the second half, and it's 31-14, the Rock. Now, Mercyhurst won the toss and deferred, so they are going to get the ball to start the second half here tonight, and we'll see how this progresses from here. And of course, Jake Chaplin tonight, just one punt for 39 yards. He's 1 for 2 on the field goals. Of course, hit a 51-yard field goal late in the first half. There were, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scoring drives in that second quarter alone. Here's the boot, and this one's going to go into the end zone, and Redmond, the return man, just lets it go through. So that's the eighth time, make that nine, because the early kickoff was the same way. Nine touchbacks on the kickoffs for Jake Chaplin.
Mercyhurst put Garrett Owens back there as a return man, so I think Chaplin saw that and said, nope, not even going to mess around with it. We're going to boot it over his head and just let the offense come back out and try to do it.
You know, they have a unique formation, Mercyhurst. I mean, it's a lot of old-school stuff.
Yes.
And they put three return men back in a line, and that's something you don't always see. So here we go. Garrett Owens is coming out with his quarterback, Doug Ottavilla, and they'll have a three-receiver set with a tight end, two receivers up on the top side. First and 10. And Mercyhurst starts out with a tight end in motion, and they're going to go hand off to Owens. And he kicks it to the outside and is dropped for no gain. And a good, was that Trey Blanford in on the tackle real quick, no gain.
Yeah, Trey Blanford and also Dalton Holt coming up there to finish it off as well. So you saw Owens try to bounce it out to his left and get upfield that way, but Trey Blanford doing a nice job of just staying home and making the tackle.
Second down and 10. Mercyhurst on the opening drive of the second half. They're at their own 20-yard line. Or, I'm sorry, 25. Get used to the NFL. Here's play action and a throw to the outside. Right away hit is number 23, Clay Waldron, and he's going to be dropped backward. That's going to be a loss of three.
Eric Glover-Williams comes up, diagnoses the play right from the snap, but also Altavilla puts that ball really low. It's a screen pass, so it needs to be thrown out to the receiver as he's in motion. That way he can just keep his progress moving forward. Had to stop, bend over, pick it up, blows up the timing, and then Glover-Williams does the rest.
So negative three on that one makes it now third and 13 for Mercyhurst. They need to get to the 35-yard line for a first down. Here's the snap. Altavilla, he's looking that way. He's chased. He's sacked. Dropped in the backfield by the Rock. And Tim Vernick was one of the first ones in. I think he and Trey Blanford together, Glenn.
Chad Kuhn.
Oh.
Chad Kuhn in there.
Oh, okay, 45. I thought I saw 46. Yep. Timmy Vernick is 46. Chad Kuhn's 45. And so they sack him all the way back inside the 15 to the 14-yard line.
Great job by this Rock defense. I mean, just fantastic job of getting out here and getting a three and out on the very first possession here in this half.
Oh, and you're going to get great field position, too.
And a false start now against Mercyhurst. So back him up a little bit. Do it again. Glover Williams is going to be the only man back to receive this punt.
So that is nine penalties now on Mercyhurst for 78 yards. And Glover Williams will now step into Mercyhurst territory to receive the punt. He's standing at his 48, 47-yard line. And here comes the punt from Brendan Cole. And it's coming right at Glover Williams. He won't have to move but a couple of steps. Grabs it at the 46. Goes inside, spins around 40, and is brought down right at that 40-yard line. So a 6-yard return for Eric Glover Williams.
When you can start 10 yards into the positive, into the opponent's territory, that's a really positive sign. So great starting field position for this Rock offense.
And you can hear the Rock crowd. They are trying to get this team pumped up, back into motion. 31-14 they lead. The defense forces a three and out, capped by a sack. And now here comes rolling down the river. I was put up to that by Jake Klein. I'm sorry. He said, you need a boomer call. Roland Rivers brings them out. He'll stand at his 45-yard line with Braden Fuffman, and they double stack receivers to each side. And it's a handoff, Fuffman. He goes right up the gut, just like he does, and he'll pick up a solid five to the 35-yard line.
It's almost like the roles have been reversed here in the second half. I think you're going to see Slippery Rock more ground and pound offense, and Mercer is going to try to air it out a little bit more, and that's quite the opposite of what these two teams usually do.
Let's see what they do on second and five. It is Fuffman again, and he goes right into the pile. He's got a first down, breaks a tackle, and that allows him to get across the 30 down to the 29-yard line, and he'll pick up six more.
Fuffman with a really nice first half, 6.2 yards per carry, so now put him up to 7 carries for 43 yards on the evening, so he's putting together a nice little complement with Wes Hills in the backfield.
19th first down of the night for Slippery Rock. Just underway here in the third quarter. They're up 31-14. Roland Rivers, he wants the screen. Now he's going to pump. Now he's going to throw way downfield. Henry Lindgren! Oh, in and out of his hands! He had a shot at it and could not reel it in.
right off the fingertips. Really good throw by Rivers. I mean, he put that almost right on the money. And Litwin just unable to corral that one in. Got his fingertips on it, but, man, it was going to be a remarkable catch if he made it.
He might have let him a couple of yards too far, but he had a chance at it. Henry Litwin trying to keep that game streak going. He's had a touchdown in every game. Now here's a handoff, and this is Jakar Berry into the game, and he goes forward. He's got a first down across the 20. 16-yard line is where he gets it to. Number 27. He was the starter at the beginning of a couple of games. After Wes Hills went down to injury, it looks like Jakar wants it back.
And that's what you have to do. When you get your opportunity, you got to make the most of it.
14-yard carry. First down, Slippery Rock. Jakar Berry will remain in the game. Sidecar right. You've got double receivers each side for the Rock. Mike Merhot and Austin Scott up top. Dakota Clattigan and Henry Litwin on the inside. And here's a handoff. Right up the gut goes Jakar Berry again.
No, actually, Merhot on a slant.
I missed the slant. I was too busy calling out numbers and missed the slant pass. And a quick hit. He picked up 9 yards, though.
Quickly back to the line. Going to try to run some tempo here and at least get the first down, if not punch this one in.
Clannigan in motion. Handoff goes to Jakar Berry, and he dices his way for a first down inside the five. Wades across people to the 2-yard line.
That was all Jakar Berry. Nothing against the offensive line, but, man, he evaded three different guys on his way to picking up that first down. So really good run.
So first and goal, Slippery Rock, and boy, this is the response you wanted. I'll tell you, you got to give it to the coaching staff here at Slippery Rock University and head coach Sean Lutz. They have had their team ready to play in the second half of every game. First and goal, Slippery Rock. Now they'll shove Litwin up to the top. Sidecars each side of Roland Rivers, and he hands it off Berry. He's going to try to stretch it to the outside, and he's going to be dragged backwards for a loss of 2 yards.
Yeah, they tried that little diamond formation, which we've seen them run quite a bit in the past, where they put three guys in the backfield, two sidecars, one deep behind the quarterback, and that time tried to stretch it out to the left side, and nice job in pursuit by the defense to just get out there and really make the tackle, not allow them in.
And one of the rare negative yardage plays for Slippery Rock tonight. Now they'll hand it off again, and Jakar Berry goes right into the pile, takes a hit, and gets the yardage lost on the previous play back, and it'll be third and goal. No, make that fourth and goal from the 2.
Still bodies peeling up there from the turf as they're going to bring the big boys off the field and go back to a little bit more of a traditional offensive set with some more wide receivers. Those last two plays, they brought a couple tight ends, some bigger bodies onto the field. Now they're going to go to more traditional four wideouts.
Actually, I'm sorry, it was third down. Third and goal from the 2. Roland Rivers drops back, throws it far side, and it hit the defensive back in the back, and it's knocked away incomplete. And the ball intended for Jermaine Wynn. Or no, Dakota Clannigan, and it never got there.
Just never got there, and the defender just in a trail position the whole time trying to keep up, and Roland Rivers underthrows it. I think if he gets a little more juice on it, that's an easy catch for a touchdown, but underthrown, hits the defender, and we're going to be attempting a field goal.
This will almost be an extra point try. The ball spotted at the 10, makes it a 20-yard attempt. Far hash. Jake Chaplin, 1 for 2 tonight. Low snap. Mike Merhot pulls it up, though, and does a great job getting it through. Does Jake Chaplin 20 yards out. Mike Merhot did a great job uprighting that ball.
Traditionally now in football, you're seeing more so punters as the hold guys on these field goal attempts, if not quarterbacks. The advantage for Slippery Rock as a wide receiver is that if you had a bad snap, he's got good hands. You know, you got Merhot back there. Kid's got really good hands. So if it's a low snap, high snap, he can crowd in and get it back to where it needs to be for Chaplin.
So that ended up being a 10-play, 38-yard drive over 3 minutes and 46 seconds. And the Rock now reclaims a 20-point lead, 34-14 with the kickoff to come.
Not ideal. I mean, you were knocking on the goal line. You would have loved to punch that one in and get the 6, but you came away with points after forcing the 3 and out. So overall, pretty good start to the third quarter here for the Slippery Rock offense.
And Mercyhurst will send their trio of return men back. with Garrett Owens on the near side. Redmond and Rodriguez, with Redmond in the middle to the top side. 9:06 mark of the third quarter. The Rock up 34-14. Here comes Jake Chapla's boot from the near hash. And he sends it right to Redmond inside the middle of his end zone, and he'll have to take the knee. And it'll bring it out to the 25-yard line. That's where Mercyhurst will start out, first and 10 at the 9:06 mark of the third quarter.
Now both kickoffs in this half for Slippery Rock have been touchbacks in the end zone, so a little bit of a sign of respect for the return game of Mercyhurst, not even giving them the chance to bring it out.
So first and 10 for Doug Altavilla and his Mercyhurst offense.
Owens in the backfield with him.
You've got Garrett Owens backside right. And it's play action. Throws it downfield. And it's almost picked off. Kyle Hall had a shot at it. Incomplete.
Yeah, just tripped as he was coming into. Well, now there's a whistle as we have Dalton Holt running downfield with it. And hey, nice recognition by Holt, though. There was no whistle. So, I mean, give the kid credit. Doing his job, playing to the whistle, and now, you know, well after the fact, they blow the whistle and call it incomplete. But, yeah, Kyle Hall came across, and as he was coming up to make the interception, just his feet got tangled and he tripped.
Final score, 4 o'clock game, Clarion beat Seton Hill 19-16 today. So Seton Hill remains winless in the PSAC West. Still up California over IUP. And now here is Owens. Coming through to the 30-yard line and picks up 6 yards on the second down carry. It'll be third down and about four, a long four at that.
If nothing else, what they're trying to do is make it a more manageable throw on third down for Altavilla. He hasn't really shown the capability of being accurate throwing the ball downfield. Pretty good in that 5 to 10 yard range, but downfield is not his strength, so they're trying to just make it a more manageable throw for their quarterback.
Well, here it is, third and four. He drops back. He looks. He throws. And it's caught. And first down grab across the middle. Coming down with that was Austin Hentz, the big guy, number 3.
And then he gets body slammed by Tim Vernick. I mean, nice tackle by Vernick, but I would have preferred a better play on the ball and knock that one away.
7-yard grab for the first down for Mercyhurst. To the 38-yard line. And now Hentz will come to the near side. Here's the snap. Altavilla hands it off. Owens dices, goes into the pile, pushes it forward for 2, and he'll be dropped at the 40-yard line.
I get it that the Mercyhurst strength of their offense is running the football, but I'm a little shocked at how committed to it they are staying. I mean, we're now halfway through the third quarter, and they're down by 3 scores. So, you know, at some point, you can't go exclusively pass, but they're still about, you know, 50-50 as far as run pass, and that's just a little shocking to me.
Well, here they come to the line now on 2nd and 8. The clock turns to 7 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Again, it's a 34-14 lead for the Rock. And it's a play action. Rollout. Altavilla throws. And it is pulled in by number 85, Bryce Mostoller, one of their tight ends. And he's right at the first down marker. He got it to the 49, a gain of 9.
Tough decision there on that play by Dalton Holt as he was up at the line of scrimmage. And he could have either gone after the quarterback, but instead decided to stay on the running back in man defense, which is the right decision, and you force the quarterback to make a good throw. He did that time, but yeah, just a caught between a rock and a hard place on that play there.
And they make 9 to the 49-yard line. Altavilla with the call. He pumps. Now he's going to run, and he's going to run right into a pile and be dropped backward for a loss. Back to the 45, a loss of 4.
They ran that play in the first half. They faked the screen with a hard pump fake, and then it's a quarterback draw. This time, the pocket had collapsed so much by the time that Altavilla was done with his pump fake, that he had nothing to do but just kind of go into fetal position and fall down on the turf.
And the Rock in the gray uniforms tonight, and there were a host of Rock defenders, but they give Tim Suave credit for the tackle. It's a negative four. Make it second and 14. Two receivers split up top to the Mercyhurst sideline. Altavilla, play action. And he's going to be sacked.
Three different players there. Suave in on that tackle, and as well as Jeff Marks there.
Jeff Marks had the initial wrap-up. So I'll see if they split that or not.
And so whenever you're trying to run those deep patterns downfield, they need time to develop. Well, in order for that to be successful, you need your offensive line to keep the pocket in place for your quarterback to stand in there and deliver a ball downfield. Just nowhere for Altavilla to go with that ball.
And it was officially recorded as Jeff Marks' three-yard sack, three-yard loss. Here's Altavilla now on third and 17, throws it across the field, and it is pulled in, but it's going to be short of the first down. And that is Austin Hentz, who is very slow to get up. He caught it at the 44-yard line, but it's still a good 3 yards short of the first down.
Fourth down, though, and you know they're going to be going for it. I mean, they're down by 20. You got 4:45 to go in the third quarter, so you can't bring the punting unit out here right now. You got to go for it if you're Mercyhurst. The question is, on the Rock side of the ball, do you play run or do you play pass? I think if you're Mercyhurst, you're probably going to some type of quick hitter through the air. So I would really play some press coverage, get up on the line of scrimmage, and try to jam these receivers.
It was a third and 17. Now it is fourth and 3. Here's the snap. Altavilla hands it off. Owens, he goes into the pile, and he's stopped. He didn't even get back to the line of scrimmage. He loses some yards, or he loses some inches. And for the third time tonight, Mercyhurst is going to turn the ball back over to Slippery Rock on downs. As the Rock defense stiffens up,
Trey Blanford, Tristan McDonald, a whole host, Zafferman in there, a whole host of guys getting in there and really doing a nice job of bringing down a tough runner. I mean, Owens is a hard guy to bring down to the turf, and gang tackling him on that one and limiting him to no gain.
So here comes the Rock now, first and 10. They'll start out at their own 44. Wes Hills back in the game, sidecar right to Roland Rivers, the quarterback. And it'll be play action. And he hits at about the 49-yard line. Can't see who caught the ball because there's a swarm of tacklers.
Henry Litwin.
It is number 11. Henry Litwin comes down with it. And he picks up 8.
Nice pump fake because there's actually a defensive end that extended, jumped up, and was going to bat that ball down if Rivers threw it right when he first wanted to. But pump fakes, pulls it back down, waits a second, and delivers a good ball.
Second down. And here's a handoff. No, he's going to go play action again. This time he dumps it off to Jake Zerillo, and he gains a yard. He just got snowed under short of the first down marker by a yard.
Yeah, they tried it again where they show the tight end coming across the formation as a blocker, but then releases out on a little sideline pattern. This time Mercyhurst up to the task.
That's at least the third or fourth catch for Jake tonight. Third and 1 for the Rock. And this time they hand it off, and it's a first down carry for Wes Hills.
Yeah, well,
or no, Jakar Berry snuck in and replaced Hills on that one. It's Jakar Berry. No, it was Wes Hills. Sorry.
With the way that the running game has been able to establish and get 5-6 yards at a time tonight. Yeah, I mean, come on 3rd and 1. What else are you going to do besides give it to your big guy and let him finish it off for a 3-yard pick up the first down?
Number 4, Wes Hills with the 1 yard, with the 1 yard grab. Roland Rivers now drops back, has a lot of time, throws it way downfield for Henry Litwin. It's on his hand, and he drops it. He had to reach out for it. It would have been an unreal catch, and he just could not rein it in. He had a one-hand reach-out grab, and it slipped off.
Just a little bit too far towards the middle of the field. You had Litwin running a post pattern. What Rivers needs to do is put that more towards the corner. That way Litwin can keep running to it. Instead, he had kind of slowed down. You saw him reach back with the right hand, try to crowd in just a little off target.
Second and 10 for Slippery Rock. Snap to Rivers. He's looking near side. He throws near side. Carnell Hawley all by himself. The only problem was he fell down after grabbing it. Ball was a little bit high. He reins it into the 15-yard line, though. And it'll be first down, Slippery Rock.
You better believe that there'll be some jokes being made during the film session watching this game as Carnell Hartley falls to the turf when he had an easy walk-in touchdown.
28 yards, though, to Hartley, and the Rocky in business now inside the red zone. First and 10. And this is a handoff, Wes Hills. He's got all kinds of running room. Oh, he's blowing through people inside the 10, down to the 6-yard line. A gain of 9 for Wes Hills, who just seems to be gathering more and more steam the more he plays in this game.
He's one of those volume guys. You know, the more you give him the ball, the more he's just going to keep breaking tackles and wearing down a defense. And before you know it, he'll put up some big numbers.
Second and 1. Play action, Rivers. And he tries to get Merhot on the slant, and it's incomplete. Just did there. It was that Hartley. No, I'm sorry, number 23, not 13. That was Carnell going on in on the slant out of the far side and incomplete.
It was a good route. I thought Carnell Hartley was open. It looked like he had made a good move, but Rivers just misses him a little bit out in front of him.
We got a timeout on the field. And the clock will stop at a minute 47 remaining in the third quarter. 34-14. We'll take a 30-second timeout and return with more. See if The Rock punches it in next on The Rock Station, 97.7. And the reason that we have a timeout on the field, a Mercyhurst player went down at the goal line, and that's one of their defensive backs. He's been down twice tonight. That's Dante Rodriguez. He is off and walking off on his own power. So this Rock drive now, 7 plays, 50 yards. It'll be second and goal from the 6.
Yeah, eating up yardage, eating up time, wearing down the defense. Everything about this has been exactly what Slippery Rock needs.
So here goes Roland Rivers in the shotgun, number 14 with number 4 sidecar. Roland's going to keep it. He's going to call his own number and try to get to the end zone. Doesn't quite get there. They're going to drop him at the 3. He'll gain 3, but boy, that was a hard-earned 3. Now they're going to say he's down at the 4. It's a hard-earned 2.
Yeah, a little indecisive on the run. He couldn't decide whether he wanted to cut that one upfield or continue to try to bounce it towards the sideline. And the problem as a ball carrier, whenever you get indecisive, is that gives the defense time to catch up to you.
And instead of being at the 2-yard line, he's at the 4. Third and goal. Here's Wes Hills. He's into the end zone easily. Number 4, touchdown, Wes Hills.
Still no signal. There it is. Okay,
geez. He's cleanly in the end zone. I don't know what they were napping on, but it's a touchdown Slippery Rock.
Yeah, nice job by Wes Hills of going off the left side of that line. And you give credit to number 77, Austin Waite, actually in there, doing a nice job of sealing that one off for Hills to get in. And, again, talked about it at halftime, that offensive line doing a nice job meshing tonight, really opening up some big holes for these running backs.
And I'll tell you what, Glenn, that is just the second touchdown of the season for Wes Hills. Obviously got hampered by the injury early in the Chippensburg game. And there's the extra point try, and he remains perfect, does Jake Chapla. And that puts the score now to 41-14 with a minute 5 to go in the third quarter. We'll take a 30-second timeout, come right back for more. Rock football on The Rock Station, 97.7. One quarter to go in 1 minute 5 seconds. We'll have the kickoff back to Mercyhurst, but The Rock is now taking a 41-14 lead. And this quarter moving a little quicker than the entire first half.
Well, this quarter, more importantly, being exactly what Slippery Rock needed it to be. They've held Mercyhurst out of the end zone. They've added more points. Everything about it has been exactly as they drew it up in that locker room at halftime.
Here's the kick from Jake Chapla, and it's going to send Redwood back into the middle of his end zone. Again, it's another touchback for Jake Chapla, and that's been the story of the kickoff night, it seems. So Mercyhurst will start out first and 10 at the 25-yard line of the Lakers with 1:05 to go in the third quarter.
I get it. Think back to the first half whenever they gave Redwood some opportunities. He's like a fullback, man. I mean, he's a tough guy to bring down. So not even giving him a chance to get back there and return that one, just booting it over his head and, you know, putting the ball at the 25.
So Doug Ottavilla will bring his team out. And Mercyhurst, boy, now they're staring at an 0-2 start in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division and 1-4 start. Out of the backfield, screen pass to Owens, who makes a tackler miss, and he's still on his feet, and he's going to go to the 30-yard line and be shoved out, and that's a hard-fought 5 yards, but boy, he did some impressive work doing it.
Not often you see Tristan McDonald whiff on an open field tackle like that, but almost got him down to the turf, just missed him.
Garrett Owens, 6'3", 215. He's not small. Now here's Ottavilla. This is a high snap, and he's going to be sacked.
And there's Tristan McDonald making up for the yardage that he lost, missing the tackle in the last play, getting in there and getting the sack and just, I mean, fired out of a cannon, came straight through the line. Nobody touched him. Clean run at the quarterback.
He was mad at himself. And so that's a loss of 4 yards on Ottavilla. And that play really got broken up quick. It was a high snap, almost looked like it was going to be a quick handoff or a play fake. Either the handoff to Owens or the play fake, and he just had no prayer. And McDonald was there to answer the call. Moves it back to a 3rd and 9 now for Mercyhurst. Tight end in motion. Snap to the pistol. Ottavilla grabs it. And here comes the pressure again. He's going to be knocked down again. Zach Bader got him that time, I think. Back-to-back sacks now by the Rock defense, and the ball back to the line of scrimmage on that one, and it'll make it a 4th and 10. Or sorry, the loss of another loss of 4,
fourth quarter,
and that'll take care of the quarter. So back-to-back sacks by the Rock defense wraps up the fourth quarter, and Mercyhurst will have to punt the ball away now, and will return with the start of the final quarter coming up on Rock Football here on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM. Here's the punt by Mercyhurst's Brendan Cole, and it's a good one. Jermaine Wynn grabs it at about his 40 and quickly tripped up by Thomas Zacharys, and he's knocked down at the 48-yard line. That return looked like it was full steam ahead for Jermaine Wynn, and he was going to bring it into Mercyhurst territory, but it doesn't quite get there, so the Rock will take over 1st and 10. Back-to-back sacks. Tristan McDonald, Zach Bader gives the Rock 4 sacks on the night, Glenn.
And what they did on that 3rd down play, too, was they had Zaffram actually spying Owens out of the backfield. Owens stayed in to block, and so Zaffram came as well, and that brought the extra pressure and collapsed the pocket.
Oh, now bad ball's snap. Loose. Oh, Rowland Rivers had it bounce off his hand on the snap. Let's see. I think he came up with his own fumble.
Yeah, he's got it.
The snap, it almost looked like he just looked away from it. And He was able to dive back on it. Braden Fuffman in the game now. They also have A.J. Alexander in at tight end. And the ball backward by 2 yards because of the fumble. Second down and long. Here comes some pressure. Rivers gets rid of it, though. Dumps it downfield. His man, Austin Scott, hadn't turned around yet, but that was one he just had to get rid of. They come with a look like a safety blitz that time, and it's incomplete.
Trying to back shoulder throw down the sideline to Austin Scott and just well underthrown. I mean, those are supposed to be underthrown because it's back shoulder, but not that far.
Alex Weimer on the blitz out of the safety position. Forced the pressure onto Roland. So it'll be third down and 12 for the Rock. Sidecar right is Fuffman. Rivers takes the snap. Here comes pressure, and he's going to be sacked.
Ball's
and the
loose.
Ball is loose, but the Rock gets fumbled forward, and the Rock recovers it. Austin Drew on the linebacking side was coming in on the backside, and there was a defensive lineman in there as well on the sack. It might have been Bradley Burroughs anyway, but the fumble rolls forward to the 45.
For Slippery Rock, Dalton Bayer, the one diving on it, so nice heads-up play by Dalton, finding that ball on the turf and just doing what offensive linemen are taught to do and just falling on it. They're actually going to say Rivers was down, so they're going to put it back at the 40-yard line, so
okay,
wouldn't
so,
have mattered anyway.
So sack back to the 40, and that makes it now fourth and 13, so the Rock going to have to kick it away. And this is only the second punt of the night by Jake Chaplin. Oh, we haven't seen one of these in a while. There's a yellow hanky on the field. It's a delay of game for the Rock.
They're going to say that they were supposed to pump the play clock back up, so the back judge is going to pick up his flag, and the back judge has been the...
So that's the fourth time they've picked up a
flag. Well, they're not waving it off.
They were
signaling to pump the play clock back up to 25, and
the
booth up here never caught it.
Okay. And I never caught what was going on, so I'm glad you did.
And now a timeout by Mercyhurst.
Jake Tarasovich is the man back. Why is Mercyhurst taking a timeout here? Odd. Unless they're worried about the Rock faking something?
I don't know why in the world Slippery Rock would fake anything at this point, up 41-14, but...
That's bizarre.
Well, that's been the game tonight, Bob. So.
Yeah, it certainly has been that. So Chad Kuhn, Jeff Marks, Tristan McDonald, and Zach Bader, all with sacks tonight. And let's see, we've had 2, 4, 6, 7 tackles for a loss in the game. Now we go back out, and Tarasovich will drop back to his 20-yard line. Jake Chaplin will kick from his 25.
And Marty Schatzel still way out here at the 35-yard line discussing something with the officials. I'm going to see if I can do some lip reading.
Again, Bob Cupp, Glenn Thompson with you here from Mahalik Thompson Stadium. Slippery Rock University football on the Rock Station 97.7 to IUP next week for a 2 o'clock kick, and then back home for a homecoming weekend on October 13th. Edinburgh will come in. That also will be a 2 o'clock kick. So the Rock still with 3 home games remaining out of the 6 games after tonight. And we're finally ready to go.
No, he's still. At what point do you throw a flag on the guy and say, get off the field?
Yeah, he's literally now just walking off to the sideline. Here's the snap. It's a good one. Chapla with the kick, and it's high and short. And this is going to get nowhere near the return man. Takes a Slippery Rock bounce, but unfortunately bounces right into one of the players going downfield.
And Garrett Debian.
Yeah, Garrett Debian just kind of unfortunately caught that by accident.
He's a defensive end, man. He got excited. He saw the football. You know, he never gets to touch the football. So
it just kind of bounced right into his hands, and I don't think he intentionally. It just was reaction.
Yeah.
So it is going to be spotted at the 32-yard line. That's where Mercyhurst will start out. First and 10 after the Rock, 3 and out. And, Glenn, I think that's only, is that just the second 3 and out we've had all night? Man in motion is Waldron, and it's play action. Altavia throws downfield, and he way overthrows Waldron. Nearest guy was Slippery Rock's Tyree Spearman, who reached up for the interception. It was too high for him. and it's incomplete.
Yeah, but Waldron had taken his route towards the middle of the field, and it looked like Altavilla was expecting him to keep going upfield. So someone not communicating well, not on the same page between quarterback and wide receiver.
Second down and 10 now. 13-10 to go in the game. Altavilla will be back in the shotgun. Here's the snap, and he does a quick handoff, and this is to Owens, and he gets across the line of scrimmage in 2 yards. So it'll be still third and 8.
Yeah, he tried a little spin move right there at the line of scrimmage, but Tristan McDonald gets just enough of him to hold him up, slow him down, and then the rest of the defense comes in to help out and finish off the tackle.
Fourth quarter, Cal still leading IUP 30-24. Clarion remains unbeaten in the West, as they won 19-16 over Seton Hill today. So here comes the third and 8 play. Here's the snap. Altavilla drops back. He's got time. Now here comes the pressure. He's going to run away from it, and he's going to dump it off to Owens, who's got the first down. And he does a nice job pulling that in. Altavilla doing a nice job, too, making that happen. And it's across the 40 out to the 45-yard line, and a first down Mercyhurst.
Nice recognition by Owens as he sees his quarterback in trouble, scrambling out to the right. Makes himself an option. Just starts running towards his quarterback, kind of waving his hand, saying, I'm here, I'm here. And Altavilla finds him for the first down.
It was 11 yards. First down, Mercyhurst to the 45 of the Lakers. And Owens remains in the backfield. Pistol formation for Altavilla. He'll hand it off to Owens. He hesitates, now goes into the pile, and he's stacked up after a 1 yard gain. And they're letting this play roll on. I don't know if I heard a whistle. Finally, it would do, but they should have blown that a long time before that.
And our sports information department just gives us an update. Looks like IUP was driving. Cal, 100 yard INT return for a touchdown. They're up 36-24.
Wow. So the number two team in the country may be on the verge of being upset tonight by the Vulcans.
That game's in IUP, isn't it?
No, it's the Cole Bowl down at Cal.
Oh, it is at Cal?
And
okay.
It's a nightmare for the Crimson Hawks. I was going to say the Indians. They're no longer that. The Crimson Hawks just have a miserable time down when they're playing at Cal and Vulcan Stadium, Adamson Field. Well, here we go. Second down and a long 9. And here's a throw downfield. Oh, beautiful catch. Yeah. Out of the hands, though. Stripped away by Spearman. Tyree Spearman did the strip job on the receiver. And I'm trying to, his hair's blocking the numbers there.
Number 17, I thought
17,
I saw.
Did you see that?
Austin Smith.
He had the catch, made a beautiful catch, and Spearman just came in and stripped it away.
Yeah, just fantastic job by Spearman of keeping with that play, keeping his hands in there, ripping at it, and eventually gets that ball loose from the wide receiver.
Third and 9 now for the Lakers after the incompletion. And that would have put them in business and maybe make the Rock slightly nervous. Now here's the third down play, and they're going for the same play again. And this time he pushes off Spearman, no flag, and it's incomplete. The ball this time was thrown a little further in, and Smith actually pushed off of Spearman to try to get to the ball, but it's incomplete.
Yeah, but at this point in the game, I'm okay with the no call. Just, you know, let them
Thank
play
you.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen enough.
You've thrown enough tonight.
So the Rock going to get the ball back via the punt now. And they will send this time Eric Glover-Williams back. The rotation of returners puts number 19 on the field this time. He'll stand at his 10-yard line. 10:48 to go in the game. Here comes the kick. It's a high kick right to Glover-Williams, who can't get to it. It kind of died as he was coming up on it. And then the return, the gunner for the Lakers interrupted that return, and he couldn't get to it, so it goes out of bounds at about the 14-yard line, and no return.
We'll see what happens here as both Taylor King and Cam Patterson were warming up on the sidelines, so we'll see if either one of them comes in and Rivers is done for the evening, or if Rivers gets another series, and it's going to be Cam Patterson.
So that'll be the night for Roland Rivers, who goes 25 for 38, 294 yards, and 3 touchdowns in the air, and he also had a rushing touchdown. So Cam Patterson, and oh, guess what? Now we've got a flag.
illegal substitution. One of the Rock players came trotting out and then came back off the field. And the problem is that the offense came out and set up in the formation. So that's technically an illegal substitution with the snap imminent. So that's why you get the call.
It'll be Chikar Berry in the backfield with Patterson. And we've had several of these instances tonight for the Rock. Just the personnel issue tonight. Double receivers stacked each side for Patterson. He's going to hand it off. And it's Berry, goes into the pile and is dropped after a one-yard gain to the 10.
Yeah, that's a, that's the kind of stuff that's avoidable. You know, sometimes if you got someone really trying to drive downfield on a good block and you get called for a hold, you can live with that. People running off and on and off the field late with personnel issues and late substitutions, like, come on, that's totally avoidable.
And what the Rock doing really by double stacking these receivers each side, it's really spreading the defense out and hoping to open up a hole for the Rock. But coming in on the backside on that play was linebacker Thomas Zacharez. And he drops Berry again for negative yardage this time. He's just coming off the corner and coming right at him and drops him back at the 8-yard line, so they'll lose two on that play.
Well, even though the formation is trying to spread the defense, Mercyhurst knows that Slippery Rock's running the football, so they're selling out on the run, especially those safeties and linebackers cheating up towards the line of scrimmage.
So now third and 16 for the Rock. Again, the penalty in the mix on that negative yardage as well. Here's the snap. Now Patterson will drop back, has time, throws downfield, and he's got a man, and that's Jermaine Wynn, and he's got the first down, I think, by a yard.
Nice job of knowing where the sticks are by Jermaine Wynn, because he caught that ball about 5 yards short of the first down, keeps his footing, stays in bounds, and dives forward to get the fresh set of downs and a chance to run more clock.
Jermaine Wynn, 17 yards. He got the first down. Now trip receivers stacked to the near side, which is the Rock sideline, and we see that they brought Ahmad Morris Walker into the game. He's split wide near side. Cam Patterson, third consecutive game he's appeared, and hands it off to Chikar Berry, and he's got some running room for a couple, and he's still in here. Here comes a flag late as he piles forward and picked up what looks like 6 yards, Glenn.
Yeah, it was a really good run. Made a nice juke right behind the line of scrimmage and then gets up through the hole and see what the call is here. The flag came in during the tackle.
Here comes the call. It is a personal foul, maybe a face mask? No, it's against Mercyhurst.
Automatic first down. It's a personal foul, so I think they called a face mask.
I didn't see him motion the face.
He doesn't signal. He signals the personal foul, but then he never signals what the penalty is after that.
So that's going to be the 10th penalty tonight on Mercyhurst. That's double what they usually have.
And again, fresh set of downs now for the Rock offense.
And here's a pass out to the outside and hit right as he grabs it, Dakota Clanigan, and he held on to it.
He caught the ball.
No gain.
The defender caught him. So. But we do have a flag coming in from the far sideline.
Let's not start this. We've got 8 minutes to go, and we've been very, very good this second half here. After a wild penalty-filled first half that took 90 minutes. So we're cruising along here. This is only been a 43-minute second half so far. And the Rock moving back, so this is going to be against Slippery Rock.
Illegal formation against the Rock.
Third penalty on this series, and we're only 6 plays in. 2 to the Rock and 1 for Mercyhurst. It'll move the ball back now to the 41-yard line of Slippery Rock. And make it a first down and 15.
I mean, that one I'm okay with. The rules are the rules. If it's an illegal formation, okay, it's a penalty. But some of these other ones, it's like, come on, like, let's just let the clock wind.
Got that trip receiver set to the near side again for Cam Patterson, who's in the shotgun. Chikar Berry, sidecar left. And it will be Barry with the handoff, and he's driven. That's Nasir Weaver in now. I'm sorry. Didn't see the change there after that penalty. And Nasir Weaver in, and he's dragged down for a loss. Back to the 37-yard line, a loss of four.
All this is okay, though. I mean, you keep running the football, and you keep running the clock, and eventually you can probably punt this ball away if you don't pick up the first down, which is a mile away right now. But if you don't pick up the first down, probably punt this one away with under 6 minutes to go.
Well, they've got to get into Mercyhurst territory to the 44-yard line in order to get the first down. The Rock right now on their own, 42. Here's the snap. Patterson has the ball knocked down, incomplete. That's the third knockdown. We've had a tip and three knockdowns by Mercyhurst defense.
Or you throw the football, get it batted down, and stop the clock. That's it's another thing.
Clock stops at 6:58. The score is 41-14 in favor of the Rock.
I know it's second and 18 or whatever it was, but run the football a couple more times and just keep burning clock. But
so now a third and 18. By the way, that IA California score 36-24 in favor of the Vulcans. Here's a screen pass to Weaver on the outside, and he's not going to get anywhere near even the original line of scrimmage. Dropped down at the 39-yard line. So he'll pick up a couple, and it'll be a kicking situation for the Rock.
Aided by a couple penalties, but overall, decent drive where you ran some more clock. And, you know, just kind of keep working your way towards getting out of this one. You know, the big thing now is just stay healthy and, you know, get out of this game. You know, you're up 41-14. Things are pretty well in control. So just avoid injury and move on.
Well, you took seven plays that time and took 4 minutes off the clock.
Perfect. Yep.
So here comes the Jake Chapla punt. Back deep for the Lakers is Tarasovic, and he's not going to get near this one. Jake's going to kick it short again, and it's caught and taken out of bounds and might even have been caught out of bounds by Terrell Gabriel on the Rock sideline. So Mercyhurst will take over first and 10, and the ball will be spotted. They're going to spot this back at the 32, 33-yard line.
And after all of the flags tonight, Bob, not sure if you saw it, they ran into Chaplin. They ran into his leg. He ended up on the ground. And no flag.
No flag. I was busy watching everything downfield, so I didn't see that. Wow.
Oh, man. And now a timeout by Slipper Rock. I
mean, Slipper Rock takes the timeout with DeAndre Cooper coming on the field in the back position for Mercyhurst. Timeout, Slipper Rock. We'll take a 30-second timeout. Come right back on The Rock Station, 97.7. Here, 6 minutes to go in the game. Mercyhurst is going to start over first and 10. They'll bring Theophilus Blackston, the third, their fullback in, along with DeAndre Cooper, who will dot the I. And Adavella under center, and he's going to roll back and throw it in the vicinity of Blackston. And he can't get there. Incomplete.
Not even. Not even close, really. That was my fault, Bob. I had my head set up. not even close. I mean, yeah. Well out in front of him on that throw.
Got to wonder, how long do you think Mercyhurst runs with Altavilla? Because it just doesn't seem like their offense is gelling at all under his direction. He's 14 of 29, just 149 yards, and that seems to be a common theme. He's in the shotgun now. And here comes the snap. We've got a pre-snap penalty. throwing downfield. It's caught, and going out of bounds is Clay Waldron, and he's into Rock territory inside the 40 to the 38. This might be offsides.
It's offsides, yeah. It's offsides against the Rock, so it's all for naught. They'll decline and go on from there. But going back to what you were saying, you know, on the two deep behind him is a redshirt senior. His name's Ramroth Finnegan. I don't remember ever seeing him in any games these past few years, but yeah, Altavilla, the junior, so obviously they're going with him over the senior for whatever reason, but he had a good game against the Rock last year.
Here's the snap to Altavilla now after the first down, and it's in and out of the hands of the intended receiver. That's one of the wide receivers, Romello Freeman, who couldn't put his paws on it. So the pass play to Waldron was for 22 yards. Now it'll be second and 10. They moved into Rock territory right now at the 45-yard line.
We got a final in Cal. 36-24, Balkans over IUP.
So the Crimson Hawks climbed to number 2 in the nation, and that will be going by the wayside by quite a bit. Drop them probably into double digits.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad, though, because that means IUP's
going to be ticked off next week.
A little angry next week.
So IUP going to go to 4-1, California up to 3-2, but most importantly, they'll be tied with Slippery Rock and Clarion for the PSAC West lead. And we don't see them for a while. They're October 20th, or I'm sorry, no, deeper than that, October 27th at Cal. That'll be our last road game of the year.
Yeah.
So ball at the 39 now, and it's third and about five for Mercyhurst. Clock turning, at 4:58 to go in the game. It's 41-14 in favor of the Rock. And Altavilla in the shotgun. Takes the snap, pumps. Now he's going to run forward. He hit, and he avoids a tackle. Here comes a flag as he gets to the first down. Let's see what the flag's about.
Two
this
flags.
Be a hold?
There's a line judge, threw a flag around the 39, and then during the play, the back judge threw a flag, and the back judge has been the most flag-happy official of them all tonight. He's been just letting them fly.
And nobody wants to talk to him about his flag.
He's just kind of standing there, huh?
He's just standing at his flag. He's going to make them come over and talk to him. And they're telling him, pick your flag up and go home. The penalty is against the Rock.
Offsides against the Rock. Declined. Face mask against the Rock. Accepted. So first down and 15 yards at the end of the run.
So they actually take the penalty that was thrown by the back judge. And that's going to move them down to the 20-yard line. First and 10, Mercyhurst after the penalty. And here's a handoff inside from Altavilla. And he'll gain a yard.
And that one to DeAndre Cooper. And I don't remember seeing Owens in the game for quite some time now. I'm not sure if maybe they're just trying to prevent him from injury. But if that's the case, then why is your starting quarterback still in the game too? But
yeah, maybe you're hoping for something. I don't know. Second and 8.
Cooper's a big guy too, man. I mean, they got a lot of big running backs.
Here's the snap. Play action, and he's going for the end zone. And tangled up on the play is Waldron. He got his feet tangled up with Eric Glover-Williams, I think. And they're going to call Glover-Williams on a interference.
It's also a flag in the backfield.
Maybe it'll be offsetting.
Who knows?
Yeah, it was just a case, I think, that Glover-Williams just got his feet tangled up with Waldron, and it slowed the progression as they were going for the touchdown. So now the discussion to sort this all out, because there are two more penalty flags down on the ground.
Officials pointing all over the place, talking.
But it's really, and that's the crazy thing, as many penalty flags as they've thrown, it's just taken them forever to get things sorted out. And it slowed the progression of play down just to a snail's crawl. We got a personal foul on the Rock. That's going to be declined. This was actually then the pass interference they'll take, so that'll move the ball inside the 10-yard line.
So again, though, if they knew it was a late hit and if they knew it was pass interference, I mean, why did we take a few minutes to talk it over? It should be pretty easy.
Well, that'll give both teams 10 penalties on the night now.
Just trying to even things up, I guess. 10 penalties per side.
And that's what it feels like. Yep. Got almost 200 yards of penalties called tonight by the officials.
Still talking it over.
And the Rock now penalized for 105 yards 10 times. Mercyhurst penalized for 93 yards 10 times. So, you know, both teams at least have been equally delinquent. And now we've got a timeout on the field in favor of Mercyhurst. Wow. We'll take a 30-second timeout, come back and try to finish the game with 4 minutes to go. It's the Rock leading 41-14. You've got Rock football on the Rock Station, 97.7. Back here at Slippery Rock University, where the Rock leads 41-14. And out of a timeout, here comes Mercyhurst. And they're going to have a first and their second and goal. I'm sorry.
I have never seen a game with a 27-point lead drag like this in the fourth quarter.
And we don't expect that in games against Mercyhurst.
No.
Because, you know, they're a ground-and-pound team, and usually the clock spins. But the officials have just stood in the way of that tonight. So, and I'm sorry, not second down. They didn't flip the card. It's first and goal. I thought it was first and goal, and then I saw the second. But first and goal from the four. Handoff into the pile goes Cooper, and he gets down to the
touchdown
marker. Yep, he's in. Touchdown, four-yard run for DeAndre Cooper, and Mercyhurst now makes it a 41-20 game.
Simple little I formation and just a halfback isolation going right up the gut, following his fullback the whole way, and finishes that one off.
So the extra point try from Mark Schaefer. Out of the hold of the punter, Brendan Cole, and here's the snap, and the kick is up and good. And that makes it 41-21 in favor of the Lakers. And the kickoff to come. So the Rock going to improve now to 4-1 on the season. And most importantly, 2-0 in PSAC West play. And they will now go to IUP next week, trying to stay in front of the Crimson Hawks. And that'll be a 2 o'clock kickoff next week at IUP. Always a difficult place to play. But the action will get underway with the Coach Sean Lutz Show at 1:30 next week. Ought to be a doozy out in Indiana.
From what we've seen from this Slippery Rock offense these past few weeks, there's no reason to think that they can't go out to IUP and hang 30 on them. It's just a matter of how many they give up on the other side.
Yeah, that'll be the question mark. How good is the defense? Because when you look at the Slippery Rock team, the strength of schedule changes dramatically in the days to come. Coming into tonight, the Rock had yet to beat a team this year that has a single win, because all of the Rock wins so far came over teams that enter Week 5 with 0-4 records. And you add Mercyhurst's 1-3 record entering the game, the Rock's five opponents are a combined 3-17. Now, the strength of schedule is about to change, because 6-9 week opponents have a combined 12-4 record entering this week's games.
Onside kick and cleanly recovered by Slippery Rock. Getting the hands team out there, and that's Dakota Clanigan coming away with it.
3:41 to go in the game, so the Rock going to take over at Well, right about the mid-stripe. 49-yard line of Mercyhurst. And they'll try to ground and pound it here to end the game. So, well, we'll see where it leads us. And unfortunately, you take away the fact that now with Shippensburg losing today to Westchester, they're 2-3. That was a game that you should have won.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. Everybody in the stands and in this booth and everywhere else knows the Rock let that one slip away. So easily, they could be 5-0. And they played a solid game in that game.
They did, especially in the second half. I think they're, let's put it this way, if Shippensburg and Slippery Rock were to play next Saturday, I think Slippery Rock wins easily. But that's why they play, and that's how things broke down that Saturday. So all you can do now for the Rock is just try to move on. And now what? they're doing something with the chains over there. Like, they just can't.
Just can't keep the game flowing. That was Nasir Weaver, by the way, who carried the ball up the middle for 3 yards. So it'll be 2nd and 7. Clock turns, but it stopped at 3:25 because apparently we have a chain link tangled on the far sideline. So now we'll get it back going here. Here comes the snap to Cam Patterson.
And they're going to let the clock wind. I mean, why not? No reason to snap this one until there's about 5 seconds to go on that play clock.
And that's what they do. 5 seconds on the play clock. 3, 2, 1. Snap goes off at the zero mark. And here's Weaver. And he goes to the near side. Now darts back up into the middle. Picks up positive yardage to the 45-yard line. He'll pick up 1 and make it 3rd and 6. And the clock will turn now to 2:40. And they'll be able to wind this one down to just about 2:10.
Yeah, what's interesting about this trip next week now for IUP, though, is, as we said, I mean, they're coming off a loss on the road, heading back home. I mean, you're going to get the very best of that IUP Crimson Hawk team next Saturday.
Here's the snap and a handoff. Weaver. No, it was Cam Patterson who kept it. And I don't know if he was going to drop back or what was going to happen there, but he gets hit by number 41, Thomas Zacharys, and he throws the ball away, and they're going to say incomplete. I don't know what they were doing there. So it'll be a 4th down.
Yeah, they were going to throw the ball, that's for sure. So luckily that they rule it an incomplete pass and not a fumble, and at least still now Slippery Rock can punt this ball away.
So here comes Jake Chaplin to kick it away with 2:14 to go. Back deep for the Lakers will be Jake Tarasovich. He'll stand at his 10-yard line. And we've got some contact at the line. Mercyhurst is going to get penalized for jumping here as Jake Chaplin boots the ball away. He's just taking a practice quick kick. That was well after the whistles. And the officials will retrieve it.
Yeah, why not? If you're out in the middle of the field and you can practice, might as well fire one away.
So move the ball forward now to the 40-yard line, and that's where the snap will occur. And Jake Chaplin will step up now.
They're going to bring the offense back out on the field and try to get the first down.
Yeah, because that makes it a 4th and 1 now.
Less than one. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's a little less than a yard. So why not bring the offense back out?
So Nasir Weaver will come back out with Cam Patterson, and they only have 8 seconds left on the play clock. They're going to have to do this quick. 4 seconds. Now we're going to have to call a timeout. Slippery Rock has to call a timeout. The play clock was down to 4 seconds. So the cruising we were doing for a while here in the second half has come to an utter grind on the interstate.
It's not just me, right? Like, this is unreal.
Yeah, it's crazy. But now, fortunately, at this point, with 2:14 to go in the game, we're only up to an hour for this half. It was 90 minutes for the first half.
So. There are still 2 minutes and 14 seconds on the clock, so we'll see.
And still some people in the stands, too.
Yes.
That's most impressive. So, next home game here at Slippery Rock University is going to be a few weeks down the road. October 13th, homecoming at Slippery Rock. Edinburgh comes to town for a 2 o'clock kick here at Mahalik Thompson Stadium. And that one will have a packed house for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. 4th and inches. for the Rock. Cam Patterson in the shotgun. Barks the signals. Takes the snap. Handoff. Weaver. He's got the first down and more. He carries it down to the 35-yard line. He needed one. He got 5-6.
I like the call by the coach and staff for the Rock. You know, because of that penalty, he put it at a very short 4th and 1. And he said, you know what, we have a chance to really just kind of go out and ice this game. And so what they do is they go out, run it for 4 yards. I mean, really aggressive play call, but I like it.
And it's going to allow the Rock basically to run the clock out now.
Cam
as
Patterson,
they'll go to a victory formation.
It's going to be under center.
Yes, indeed. Under center for the victory formation. Here's Cam, and he'll take a knee. Clock will wind, and that's going to wrap up the game.
Under he'll have to do center it, kneel. Well, great game tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, really a nice job by this Rock team, both offensively and defensively. And honestly, I know the scoreboard wouldn't reflect it, but I think the biggest stretch in this game was the first 6 minutes, 5-6 minutes of the third quarter. Whenever you had the Rock come out, Mercyhurst went 3 and out on their first possession. The Rock gets a touchdown. Mercyhurst again has to punt. Rock puts a touchdown on the board. I mean, just a huge sequence there. After late in that second quarter, Mercyhurst kind of bunched things up a little bit, kind of got a little momentum, and Slippery Rock comes out and just kind of stomps it all out in the third quarter.
Yeah, because remember, it was a 31-14 lead at halftime, and Mercyhurst was getting the ball back,
right,
and they had all the momentum at the
yes,
late of the second quarter, as you kind of alluded to. So, yeah, I thought the response, and that's what has impressed me the most this year about this green and white team, or tonight, the gray and white team with the green tinge. they have come out in the second half ready to play.
Yes.
That has really stood out to us this year.
Yeah, the adjustments that are being made at halftime of these games by the Rock coaching staff, it's just terrific. The way that the team comes out in the third quarter, they seem sharper on offense. They're executing a little bit better. They're sticking on their roles better on defense, changing up schemes a little bit. I mean, everything about it in the third quarter has been a really strong quarter for Slippery Rock all season long.
We'll take our final timeout, come back and recap the game. The Rock comes away with a 41-14 victory over the Mercyhurst Lakers. You're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.